Good morning. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and I want to tell you what a colossal privilege it is and an honor to be able to speak to you about the Word of God and the greatness of the precious Lord. I want to share with you again from Luke 15, where we looked at in our last program and saw things about being lost. Today, we think we're so clever and we are so self-anointed with our cleverness that we seem to think that we can do what we like, when we like, and how we like, and we can do anything we like. Even our faith in the Lord Jesus is sort of reconstituted from the Word of God, but it is not altogether the Word of God. You see, it was God that gave his only begotten Son. It wasn't man that invented salvation. So we didn't actually come to the place where we could say, I took Christ as my Savior. I didn't. God knew me before the foundation of the world and in spite of me called me. Now, one of the great things of the teaching of the Word of God is this, that no matter how awful, how terrible my life has been, it is God the Father who has come to my rescue and has given me a Savior who is called Christ the Lord. If we go back and we look at verse 11, of Luke 15, we discover the sheep that was caught in the thicket. And man is caught in a thicket when he relies upon his own ability to understand, when he relies on his own education to meet the consequences of the equation that he has invented, and he has invented something that has nothing to do with God at all. The love of God is greater far than any tongue or pen can tell. It reaches from the highest star right down into the lowest hell. That is a massive chunk of love. My life may be the most wretched thing I've ever discovered, but God has discovered something even more magnificent and beautiful, and it is this, that he so loved me that he saved me. And what I need to do is thank him for that salvation. I have been born again because he caused me to be born again. That is, he saw me in the thicket like the sheep, and he lifted me up. He pulled me out. And he took me back to the fold, and he said to the people around, come, rejoice with me, for that which was lost is found, and that which was dead is alive again. It was God the Father that did this. This is why Jesus said, when you pray, learn to pray, our Father who art in heaven. Not just mumbo jumbo prayer, but our Father, who has prepared a place for us, who has given us a new salvation, who has given us a new and wonderful way of coming to him, who has made us holy. When we are the most unholy of people, God has made us holy. He has washed us white as the driven snow. He has cleansed us from our sins. Now, the sheep that was lost because the sheep had gone astray. The sheep turned his back on the Father, just as we may have done in our lives. If you're in that condition, then I simply say to you with a great deal of love, turn your attention very quickly to the Lord Jesus, and turn that attention so that you can understand the new and living way of the Word of God. Now, the next thing we discovered was a woman who lost the coin. we assess from the way the story is told by the Lord Jesus, she had no more money, and it was of vital importance to discover this one piece of money. Once she had assessed that the money was lost, she turned the house upside down, she swept it, she cleaned it, she did all the things that people do to find the lost coin. I am a lost coin unless I can say with all my heart, praise God, I have been found. I have been lifted up out of the horrible pit. My feet have been placed upon the solid rock, and I now stand in the presence of Jesus, and I stand there firmly and humbly simply because he has made for me this new and living way. Now, I'm using personal pronouns there and saying me because I want to emphasize that it's all of us, actually. Only when you say it, you talk of one's own self. So we go from the first person, which should be the third, perhaps. I think you understand what I'm saying. Now let's look at this for a moment and discover that the woman found the coin. We are never out of the sight of God, whether we be righteous or unrighteous, whether we be clean or unclean, whether we be wretched or saved. We are never out of the sight of God. He knows where we are. He said to Adam and Eve, especially to Adam, he addressed him. He said, Adam, where art thou? And Adam said, well, if you really want to know, I'm hiding in the bushes here. Why are you hiding in the bushes? Because I'm naked. Ah, you've eaten of the tree that I told you not to. And you now know good and evil. You now have the same equation in front of you that I have. And for me, I believe the Father indicated, for me, this is a tremendous conundrum. For how will we extract from man a love that is disobedient? How shall we bring him into obedience? And to be truthful, as you read the Word of God, you know full well that the Word of God tells us that we are the most despicable and unworthy of people. Now the woman swept the house, she found the coin. It's not quite said that way, but it's implicated, and I'm sticking to the truth of God when I say she found the coin. She found the coin. That is, the coin was now in her grasp. The coin was now for her to use as she wanted. And when you are born again, you are now the coin that is found for the use of the Master, who will look after you and care for you all the days of your life. He knows where you're hiding. He knows what you're doing. You have no camouflage that will keep his vision occluded from your person. He will come to you in the night. He will come to you in the day. He will come to you the moment you say, here I am, I'm in the bush. I'm caught. Here I am. I'm hiding under the furniture. I'm out of sight. I know this in my own experience. If things aren't going well for me and I go into a fit of depression or something of that nature, now this is metaphoric, but I tend to go into the corner of the room and pull the covers up over my head and say, I'm not lost, but I'm hiding. I'm just hiding. And it's wonderful to know that it is God that says, you know, you're a foolish person because I am the light of the world. I've entered your experience and I know where you are and you're full of light even though you are hiding somewhere in the house and pretending not to be who you are or not being where you are. It's a very difficult position to be in, and very embarrassing sometimes when the Lord Jesus peels back the covering and says, "Hi, good morning. I found you. I never lost you. You were lost to me, but I never lost you, because I called you before the foundation of the world. I had arranged that your salvation would enter your heart and you would be filled with the joy of the Lord, and you would be able to stand when everybody else was falling down." Now, I say this to you with a great deal of love. Now, the prodigal son's situation was very different. It wasn't a sheep that had just wandered off in ignorance. His was a deliberate action. "Give me my estate now. Give me what I deserve when you die. Give it to me now." To modernize it, he wants to buy a Lamborghini, or he wants to buy a Ferrari. And so he wants his inheritance now so that he can terrorize the neighborhood by screeching along at alarming speeds and causing people's hair to fall out for fear. He wanted to buy some fabulous diamond in a ring or a pendant or something like that. And he was prepared to pay with all that his father had accumulated and would give him. He was prepared to dump the lot just so that he could have his way. Now, he wasn't a drunkard at this point, but he very quickly became drunk with his ability to pay for whatever he wanted. And we have done this. And we have got ourselves in a terrible mess, one way and another, indebted to all kinds of people and all kinds of things, because we had to have what God would not give us. It is interesting, sometimes in our family we share our monies and we help one another. Within our family unit, there was one of the members who's not doing very well and things are very bad for them with illness and this, that and the other. Not directly my family, but within our family, this has happened. Rini and I had put together some money. We had no reason to put it together, but we did. And we weren't quite sure what we should do with it when we got it all together. And we wanted to send it to England. And the bank in England messed us around. Now, our original thought was we would give £500 to this member that was in need. But the foul-up that we got with the bank was such that what should have taken 3 or 4 minutes was now taking 2 weeks. And that's a lot of difference. So we upped the ante and we agreed that we would give £850. And that was stopped by the same bank, of course. That was alarmingly set to one side. And we looked at each other. We were eating breakfast. And I said, "We've got to send this money." And Rini said to me something that was in my heart to do. Only I wasn't sure how to present it to her. I had been trying to think of a way to say this, and she said, "What about giving 1,000? And I said to her, "That's my heart." So we agreed that we would try the bank again, and this time we would send 1,000. Well, you know, the strangest thing, in 4 minutes that money was out of our account and in the account of the member of the family that needed it the most. We weren't generous enough, and God was teaching us a lesson. Give. Well, I don't want to say too much about that, but it happened just this last week that the money was processed and sent away. So we have all sorts of things to think about. This man deliberately took his inheritance and deliberately squandered it and listened to the words in riotous living. Now, this is the King James Version, in riotous living. I don't think it meant that he rode a horse at great speed or sat in a chariot at great speed zooming through Jerusalem. I don't think it means that at all. He was riotous in that he broke the law, not the law of man, for man has broken those laws for aeons. He broke the law of God, and God had said, "Thou shalt not." And he said, "Oh yeah? Well, I'll have a nibble at doing it." And he did. And he was out with prostitutes. I'm now quoting the scripture, not my words. He was out drinking. And when he had come to the end of his money, there was a famine in the area, a terrible famine. He had no money to buy food. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation, but I know this, that when you're hungry, it's a miserable situation that you're in. So in his hunger, his reasoning, sitting somewhere, reasoning in his mind, and his reasoning is this: my father has all these employees, he has all these people that work for him, and they're all fed well. I will go home. There's point number one. And I will say to my father, point number two, and I will say, "Treat me as a hired servant, for I am no more worthy to be called thy son." This is humiliation at its best. I am no more worthy. I am not worthy. My goodness, that's a big step from the attitude of the majority of people that we mix with day by day. It's very difficult sometimes to hear somebody say, "I am not worthy." But we are not. I am not worthy of the love of God. I am not worthy of the grace of God. I am not worthy of the kindness of God. I am not worthy of all the things that God wants to be to me. And I am not worthy of his fatherhood. I'm not. And the young man came to himself and he went to his father. Now here's a reaction to an action. Though he had been gone several months, or maybe a year or two, the father saw him when he was a great way off. He saw the silhouette of this man walking across the field. This is in my imagination. And he took off from the top of the house. He ran through the house. This is the father. And the father hit the bricks, as it were, full speed, and he ran out until he reached that boy. And he fell upon his neck. You know, this kid stunk. He'd been feeding pigs, and he'd been eating the swill that the pigs had allowed him to get to. He was hungry. He was just destitute. He was in a terrible position. And your spirit and mine have to get sometimes to that situation when we run and we see always that the Bible is true. If you will come unto me, I will come to you and be a father to you. Oh, what a precious word that is. My father's been dead many years, and I still talk to him. I still say to him things like, "Do you remember?" And I've said to different people who are close to me, "I would love to sit down and talk to my dad one more time." But there is a gulf that is fixed between my dad and I. It's called heaven and earth. Soon I shall see him face to face. I won't have much to say, I don't think. I shall be so overawed and so absolutely taken up with the beauty of Jesus. I will be so taken up with the love of God that is so penetrating and overwhelming that my dad's love will be as it really was, the love of a father to a son. I don't think we'll sit down for long, for he'll want to tell me all about Jesus. And he'll want to tell me how prayers have been answered. Maybe he's seen things that I've not seen, because I'm still on earth and he is in heaven. Maybe he's been allowed to see me struggle to get through these years. I don't know. But I do know this, that when I meet Jesus, I shall meet my Father, for we are mysteriously the bride of Christ, which is a subject that I think would fill our hearts and minds for hours of discussion, for it seems incredible that we can possibly be that. I have to think about finishing this program, but I have to tell you that this young man, suddenly his father said, and I guess there was a bath in there somewhere, this young man had a ring on his finger, the best gown upon his shoulders. He had some fine sandals on his feet. He was even down to walking without sandals. And this young man was now replaced to the position he should be in. God placed him high up. The father said, "He is my son." Now let's notice what the reaction was within the family. The elder son said, "Nobody killed a calf and had a party for me." And the father said, "Oh, dear son," to the elder son. He said, "You've always been with me. All of this is yours. Don't be jealous. Don't be upset. Come, rejoice with me. My son was lost." Now, a son does not understand a father like a father understands a son. And we saw our sons and daughters grow up, and we watched them develop into men and women, and they were lost. And our cry went up to heaven, "Lord, Lord, find them. Let them be aware of your presence, aware of the necessity to repent and believe. Make them aware to come to you. Father, receive my son. He was lost. He is found. He was dead. He is alive." Now, it's terribly important that you and I get ourselves into such a situation with our own families. But as we go on in this story, we find the elder son would not fellowship, and he stayed away from the party, and he would not do what his father requested, and his relationship with his father was damaged. If you're an elder son and that's happened to you, if you're the other brother and it's happened to you, get on your knees now. Seek the face of God. Weep before him, for this is where you are. You're in the place where you can forgive the selfish wretchedness of this younger brother, and you are in the place where you can receive him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let yourself be part of that portion that the Apostle Paul talks of. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Never mind whether you stand up and sing, "Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him," with your hands in the air, or you sing in the most solemn way, "Love divine, or love's excelling joy of heaven to earth come down." Never mind how you sing. Never mind how you worship. Are you one with the brother that God has called from the lostness? Are you found? And are you with the people that have been found? Are you in the position of rejoicing in the Lord Jesus? Well, it's easy for me to lecture you on that, but I've had to go through some hoops on this particular theme, and I've had to examine my heart. I have had to come to some conclusions. I've come to this conclusion. There is one Father in heaven. He is Father of all, and he is the Lord God Almighty. You may come to him in the brightness of his Son. You may come to him fed by the living bread that his Son provides. You may come because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Hear our prayer. We call out, Abba, Father. Let our cry come unto thee. Wash us so that we may be acceptable in your courts. Cleanse us from our sin, Lord. Put thy power within, Lord. Bless this precious word, please, Lord. And these things we ask in the name of Jesus, that your Son may be glorified in the attitude of our lives. Father, who lives in heaven, holy, reverenced, be your name here on earth in us. For your name's sake, amen. Now I've tipped over a few clods of earth for you, but think on these things. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.